This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from this week in Cougar sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
This is the most anticipated season in the history of BYU basketball.
This is all about locking up a one or two seed.
This is the best player in the country. The number one pick, AJ DiMonza, is going to be the best player on the team.
In the most obvious statement of all time, Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann with you. Do you get more questions about BYU football or men's basketball? Because for me, it's men's basketball right now.
Is it?
People are so excited.
Well, there's a lot going on with football. That yes, seems to be the first question.
Yes.
Whenever,
other than that one.
But right now, first of all, the BYU social media folks are doing a phenomenal job with basketball. They got stuff, the dunks from
workouts
or whatever. Everything, yeah. So they're feeding the beast pretty good.
Yes, they are. And we will continue to do that with Mark Durant, BYU radio analyst, now joining the program. Mark, it's the off season, but people are excited about what many are saying is the most anticipated season in BYU men's basketball history. How are you feeling about it, even though it's June?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting to let yourself think about it. But I'm still recovering from last season. That was pretty exciting itself. But I do look forward to that. Obviously, AJ is a big story, but they got a lot of guys, and it's like Sports Nation. You can have Spencer off, but then you bring in Dave McCann. I mean, he's an All-American off the bench. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So BYU's got a lot of guys, but obviously AJ's going to be a big story. But I'm kind of excited to see a Richie Saunders senior year. I mean, I think as good as I think AJ's going to be, I think having Richie with him will make it so BYU can contend for a national title. I think one or the other, probably not. But those two guys together with some of these other guys, I mean, it's crazy to say it. I've been doing it a long time to legitimately say BYU is a national title contender. But I think this year, even though it's June, I think we can say it.
Mark, when you look at AJ and then you look at your game, what are the similarities?
There are no similarities. Zero.
Hard workers.
Come on. You're a battler. You held your own down on the rim.
Know their role.
Yeah, well, what I hope for AJ, and the nicest thing I can say about myself, is I hope AJ has a Mark Durant on his team, because my only goal was to make Russell Larson or Andy Toulson or Gary Trost better. And I wanted to set screens for those guys and get them the ball where they wanted it. And so AJ just doesn't have to kind of do it all on his own, which I think he's capable of. But all I can say for myself is I was a guy that would maybe make AJ a little bit better, not that he needs much help.
He'll be just fine. And it was fun that Richie Saunders told Chris Burgess, man, I've never had more open shots when AJ DiMonza had the ball in his hand. So
exactly.
that's pretty exciting as Rob Wright III recovers from a finger injury. ESPN's Myron Medcalf said BYU men's basketball is better at nearly every spot. Do you agree? Because that's quite the statement.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we'll see how some of the younger bigs play out. I think losing Foose is a bigger deal than we think. I mean, he was incredibly solid and talented and was a post scorer. I think Kaber really made some strides last year. And you've certainly got other guys coming in, but it's hard for me to rely on too much from guys that I really haven't seen perform. And so maybe you'll play a little bit smaller. You've got great size on the wings. I think Brody Kozlowski is a guy that I'm excited about, but there's a lot of guys certainly capable, and Coach Young will have a lot of options. I mean, that's a beautiful thing for a coach. Depending on the team you're facing, matchups, you can go a lot of different ways. And So I would probably agree with that. I mean, this team, I was going down the list in my mind, and you know, I thought last year had two really good starting five teams, and I think this team could have two even better starting five teams. And so you're playing 10 guys that are super talented at least and have the ability to have fresh legs and do those kind of things, which I think is important nowadays. And so, again, it's a lot of speculation, which is what we do. I recognize that, but it is June. One thing I've learned, Jeremy, in my time doing this is things can change, and things can change very quickly. Now, I hope they don't change or they change for the better, but in today's world, you can't rely too much and count on too much, but certainly as it stands here in June, things look really, really good for BYU.
Let's jump ahead 140 days to Vegas, T-Mobile Arena with the Villanova season opener. And let's say everything is as it is today. How eager are you for that first 4 minutes before the first timeout? One, you'll probably have to make sure Greg's got oxygen because there's going to be a lot of adrenaline into that first segment of the game. But from your perspective, what are you most interested in seeing in those first 4 minutes?
Well, let me make it clear that I'm not comparing AJ to LeBron or anything like that. But I remember the anticipation for LeBron's first NBA game, and he was so young. Is he really who we think he is? Can he compete against such good players? And so it's cruel to AJ, but he seems to embrace it a little bit even. So the pressure, the expectation, just to see him play, and everybody, that's what everyone's going to be there for. That's why they have the game, right? Is because of AJ, and teams want to play him, and national broadcasting companies want to play his games on national TV. And so that'll be the story, and that I think what we'll be looking at. But I just want more than that to be able to assess BYU as a team. We're going to know very quickly if BYU really is a team that's going to contend for a national title. And maybe that's not fair. I mean, you can get better over the course of the season, but they're going to have a murderer's row right off the bat. So we're going to have a lot of – sometimes a team, you have questions leading into January. I think with this team, we're going to have a lot of questions answered in the first few weeks with some of the teams they have to play.
10 days until the NBA draft, Yegor Demon's going to be a first-round pick. We hope in the lottery. What we hope more is better fit. What's a good fit for him, in your opinion, in the NBA?
Well, I'm really interested to see what happens with Yegor, because I think he could really be a really great player in the NBA. Now, I don't know that he'll ever develop into a prolific scorer, which is oftentimes what we measure players by. But I think with the open style of play and with the level of players that he's going to be playing with, the way he plays, his vision, his size, I think, first of all, some of the great players in the league would just love to play with him. I mean, can you imagine playing with Yegor? And, you know, he's going to find you. He's going to reward you. And again, not to compare him to Magic, his all-time great, but Magic was a similar, bigger point guard who had great vision, made great passes, and made everybody around him better. So I think Yegor will have a chance to be someone special just because there's not a lot of guys like him. There's a lot of scorers in the league, but to really play kind of like he does is unique, and I think that's what's attractive to him. So I think ideally a team that has some proven superstars that Yegor can come in, not be expected to be a franchise changer right off the bat, but kind of get his feet wet, but then really help those other guys and find them and make them better. And I think he's going to be just a fun player to watch in the NBA. He's going to be a great success. And so we'll see what happens. The draft is kind of a crazy thing. I remember watching my brother, and we expected him to get drafted pretty high, and he kind of slipped a little bit, went to Indiana. I don't expect that to happen to Yegor, but he'll find the right spot, and he's a good enough player that he'll find a place in the NBA, and I think will excel.
Mark, let's finish with this forecast into the future. So you got Yegor going in the draft. You have AJ here getting ready for his season. But what about after that? How do these two major pieces impact, do you think, the next 3, 4, 5 years down the road for Kevin Young?
Yeah, to me, it's always about momentum. You want to be snowballing. That's what I always admired about Gonzaga's program over the years, is that they established themselves as a place where players wanted to go there because they knew they'd have success, they knew they'd have exposure, and they knew that it was a stepping stone for the NBA. And I think BYU can really be that. Now that they're in a major conference, they're playing high-level teams, they're having success, and once you start getting players like that, it's almost like permission to other great players to come. And credit to Yegor, credit to AJ, credit to everyone that's gone before, really, to put BYU in a position where now players can look at BYU and say, this is a good place. I can really focus on my athletics here with not a lot of distractions. I can compete at the highest level on TV, go to the NCAA tournament, and hopefully make a deep run. And then year after year, as you do that, you become a really hot commodity. And people are talking about BYU as a destination for players now. And you mentioned Wright and others coming. I mean, it's something I didn't quite imagine, but I'm certainly excited to see how it plays out in the next few years, Dave.
If BYU goes to a Final Four, Mark, will you rename one of your goats, AJ?
You'll have to get that past my daughter, but she's a big BYU fan. She might want to name the other one Spencer Linton, but AJ and Spencer might be good replacement names for my two goats.
AJ, Spencer, Dave, Richie, Rob, Brett, and third, all of them. Yeah,
of
all the goats. Mark, we appreciate the time.
I'm not getting any more
insight.
Goats. There's just two.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it.
Hey, I love you guys. It's always a pleasure to see you.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Love you too, Mark.
The great Mark Durant. Plan to be with us, by the way, Friday for a BYU Sports Nation special. This is how we roll through the summer. This Friday, the top 10 teams in the history of BYU football. There's Chad Lewis
making
a grab. We kick it off Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
The discussion around those teams, let me tell you. I think you know what number one is, but what's two, three, four, and so on. Coming up, what a weekend for track and field in Eugene, and which former Cougar scored 18 points to help his team win a championship. This is BYU Sports Nation.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
It's Tuesday, June 17th. I'm Dave McCann with Blaine Fowler. We've been covering these Cougars for over three decades.
That's
crazy.
We were talking
about that last night.
We're not old enough.
Young to be doing that. But we've also come to appreciate the game of golf.
Yeah, that's a good segue to some big news this morning. BYU grad Brian Rolapp was named the new CEO of the PGA Tour this morning.
That makes him the boss.
It's huge. He graduated from BYU in 1996. Previously, he was the executive vice president of NFL Media and the CEO and president of the NFL Network. I know there's been a lot of talk about Brian taking over as the commissioner of the NFL when that time comes. But what a great honor, a huge announcement this morning that he is going to be the CEO of the PGA Tour. Wow.
And when you're the boss, guys like Tiger Woods say, hey, can I get a picture?
Yeah, exactly.
And so they take a picture.
That's
big time.
He just became big time. For
you know,
sure.
And who knows? Maybe he'll be the commissioner of the NFL someday.
Yeah, I think
there's
that's
a lot
yeah,
of
I think
things.
There's a pathway to that for him. He's very well respected in all professional sports, and we see that this morning with his job announcement.
Seems like he could get us a tea time at Augusta.
My question is, can we – a tea time at Augusta?
A tea time.
Ooh,
just a visit.
Not just to go to the Masters.
No, I think it seems like he could.
We need to bring him on the show and ask him that on the show where we pin him down. So,
all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
All of Cougar Nation got a glimpse of what the vision is for BYU athletics this past season. You see all of our other sports competing at a national level. That's the vision.
Days like today, we can say it's over.
Right.
I mean, it's literally over. The 2024 athletic year came to a close over the weekend for BYU. Man, over the last 12 months, NCAA tournaments, national championships, Big 12 titles. Today, for a few minutes, we're going to look back at some of the biggest storylines across Cougar sports over the last year that we've covered on this show and throughout BYU TV and live and all the pregame, postgame, all that stuff.
And there's a healthy list. We debated what should be number one, what should be, you know, this and that.
So but, I don't. Did we do these in order? I don't know if we really did them in order.
Nah.
But it all came down to what we said. These are the things we want to talk about.
Yeah, and you start with the mothership, right? You always start with that. And that's BYU football and that 11-2 season, which was totally impressive considering they were picked 13th in the Big 12 last July. And then they come and they roll through and they finish the AP Top 25 ranked number 13. That's in the country. Take a look at some of these accolades. What was the most impressive thing about BYU football for you?
I think the most impressive thing is where they were projected to be versus where they ended up. And I think that 9-0 start just flabbergasted everybody. Like, wait a minute. Where did this team come from? Anytime you're in a Power Four conference and you win 11 games, it's something very, very special. In fact, you and I have talked a lot this next year. If they win 9 games, I'd be happy with 9 games. I would have been happy with 8 games last year. You go out and win 11. You go 7-2 in the Big 12. You get a share of the regular season title. It doesn't really matter because you got to go to that title game. I think the most impressive point in the season was the absolute beatdown of number 23 Colorado in that Alamo Bowl. I mean, 36-14, and it didn't feel like it was that close. They beat the daylights out of Colorado, and they sent a message, yep, BYU's a Power Four program. I thought that was huge. A lot of great things from this last football season.
What impressed me is while they did it, they did amazing things, like Parker Kingston. We had never seen a 140-yard punt return.
Yeah, because he ran all the way across the field.
In the same play, we saw a bad decision. An even worse decision as he ran backwards and grabbed the ball and just kept going toward the Oklahoma State goal line. Now all of a sudden he's 100 yards away and then he turns it into one of the greatest punt returns we've ever seen. And then we're sitting there at our broadcast platform listening to Cougar Nation respond in the stadium. And it was tremendous. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what we just saw and pandemonium. And you're playing the 13th ranked team in the country. And then you fast forward and see what Jake Retzlaff and Darius Lassiter did with 10 seconds to go to beat Oklahoma State in another improbable finish where the fans they were just out of their minds.
There were so many big plays and so many big moments. Maybe none bigger than what happened up in Salt Lake City against the Utes. And to have that game come down to the wire and for everybody's emotions to be lower than the floor here and then have the holding call, which was legit. By the way,
total hold.
Has been reviewed and totally a hold. And they get another chance. I think everybody went from lower than the floor to, wait a minute, you're telling me there's a chance. And then they go down the field, and then Will Farron gets a new nickname with that game and becomes Big Game Bill that point forward. And people realize, I think, through the course of the season that BYU has, if not the best, one of the best kickers in all of college football, you know, almost a certain NFL guy because he's so steady. Special teams were a big part of this phenomenal season, and none bigger than that game when Coach Papinga, the special teams coordinator, said to him, what hash do you want it on? We're going to run the ball and put it position. And Will says, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Because whatever side you put it on, it's going through the pipes.
It's going to kick it.
That's Big Game Bill.
The stat that surprised me the most as we look back on the year was on the defense. I mean, from the year before when BYU had trouble stopping anybody to the second year in the Big 12 and the second year under Jay Hill, and they're the number one defense in the league. There's 16 teams. You know, and typically the team up north likes to say they're always the best defense, whatever.
Wherever they are.
The number one defense was in Provo week in and week out. So many of those guys are coming back for this season. But that really surprised me.
Yeah, that was big. And you know what? It is a testament to what Jay Hill did. So he put a new system in the year before, and they were better. But now you had a whole team of guys that had been in the system for a full year, and they played fast. And when you play fast and you arrive at the ball with a mean mentality like they did, and you start smacking people around with confidence, the ball starts coming out. You start getting picks. They were one of the top teams in the country all season
21.
Long in turnovers and interceptions.
21 interceptions.
Awesome. So what a great year. So, and as you said, football's the bell cow. Football is what pays the bills. So we put that at the top of the list.
And football delivered.
Yeah, what a great, great year for football. An unexpected great year for football. Now a little higher expectations, but I expect greatness again this year. Let's move to our number two.
All right.
So Kevin Young's first season as BYU's basketball coach. a huge success. Again, way exceeding anybody's expectations. They accomplished a lot in this first season on the court. What was the most impressive thing to you about this BYU basketball team that made a Sweet 16 appearance for the first time in a long time?
It's hard to believe these two topics are in the same year.
Yeah, right? Wow.
With what football did and then basketball just came on. And it starts with Yegor Demon. All of a sudden, you get an athlete that BYU doesn't typically get, at least up to the point of getting Yegor. Young and projected NBA lottery pick. Oh, you know what? The lottery's next week, and he's projected to be a lottery pick. So, hey, what we were talking about last summer came to pass. And he was just part of this thing, routing Kansas at home. BYU thought they could beat Kansas. Dismantling Kansas on ESPN, you know what? That was a surprise. Going to Iowa State and beating the Cyclones on their floor. Beating Arizona the way they did on their floor in Tucson. And the Sweet 16, you finish ranked 13th. I think you got to throw in there the hiring of Kevin Young and the staying of Kevin Young. Mm-hmm. When the Suns needed a new head coach here recently and they came sniffing around and Young wanted to be here and so he signs an extension here. All this stuff in the last 12 months, off the charts for me. What about you?
Yeah, and the season in its entirety is just amazing to me because you always say, well, new coach, new system, how are these guys going to adapt? Yeah, they have some good talent. Did anybody have any idea that Richie Saunders was going to play the way that he played? I mean, unbelievably, he becomes first team all Big 12 and all American. Now he's an NBA prospect. Nobody expected that out of Richie Saunders. You had a couple of new players and you wondered how they were going to play as freshmen. The way this team played together and everyone played a role. You see Dawson Baker knocking down shots and coming off the bench. Mihailo Boskovic comes in and plays a vital role. So many players playing big time roles, and that resulted in big games, and you mentioned them. I mean, that Kansas win was as big as it's ever been. That was huge to dismantle. And it's not just that they beat them. It's the way that they manhandled them. I compare that game to what we talked about in football with the Colorado game where BYU just manhandled a good team. And so I think the consistency of this team, the ability to have a brand new system and to play at a high, high level with multiple pieces was the biggest surprise for me and what I was most impressed with. Kevin Young and his staff did a phenomenal job all season long of building that thing. And now even more talent comes in, and you got a bunch of guys that know what's expected and how to play in this league.
Yeah, and they did it without getting lucky, right? It wasn't a half-court shot that they hit that changed everything. They earned what they got, and not everybody developed, right? Not everybody overachieved. And Cannon Catchings had huge expectations, as much as Yegor coming in. And Cannon struggled, and now he's gone somewhere else. That part didn't quite work out, but other areas did. Trey Stewart comes all of a sudden. He's like, he's getting serious minutes at the end of the season in the games that matter the most, whereas the first half of the season, he wasn't on the floor at all. And there was Mawat Mag goes from the bench to a starter. Once they started him, they could never take him out.
Yeah, to me, the way Kevin moved the pieces through the preseason and figured out, you know what? We need more defensive presence on the floor. We're going to put Mawat on. I believe that was a turning point in the season when Mag went into the starting lineup and BYU had a defensive presence and then his offense was surprisingly good. But pulling the right strings, Kevin Young showed what his value was in this first season. It's going to be fun moving forward.
All right. You ready to take it up a notch?
Yeah.
Kevin Young and BYU basketball, after Yegor and Dawson Baker do their things, they go out and they sign the world's number one rated player in A.J. DeBonsa, who's on campus now, not today because he's over there with Team USA earning a spot to go play for the World Championships, but A.J.'s here. How big of a storyline is this from the past year?
Did any of us ever think that BYU could get the kind of recruit they did in A.J. DeBonsa?
And no.
What it did was it changed the narrative around BYU and who they can recruit. All of a sudden, BYU's top five recruiting class, and then it just kept getting better. But when you get AJ, who is considered, he's not just the best player in the country. If they could draft high school players like the old days, when LeBron James was coming out, he'd probably be the number one pick in this year's draft.
Right.
And BYU signs him. And he's a remarkable athlete. You and I have had a chance to sit down with him for a long time and do interview with him and meet his dad. And he's not only a great player, he's a great fit for here. And then that opened up the door for a lot of other things. Next thing you know, Rob Wright's transferring in because he wants to play with AJ. It opened up a lot of doors, and it created a narrative about BYU is BYU is a big-time program. They can compete with North Carolina and Duke and Kentucky for anybody. And here we have AJ, and now people are saying, well, this is a Final Four team next year.
Yeah.
Like, the expectations are really, really high, but I'm okay with that. And they have the talent, and I think what Kevin Young proved last year is that he can meld young talent into an effective team, and that NBA experience, I think, because in the NBA, everybody's a superstar. Yeah. And you have to figure that out. He did a phenomenal job last year. Now you got AJ, you got Rob Wright, you got, like, we're just talking about a couple of pieces, and you got Richie coming back, who's just an unbelievable leader. This is great stuff. AJ changed the game forever for BYU in recruiting.
I think so. I think we're going to see down the road the fruition of that statement right there, because he's here now, others will come. And we really don't even know how it's going to work out this year, right? Villanova is the first big test on November 3rd. But because AJ picked BYU, others are going to pick BYU.
Yeah.
And we'll just see. And it just might become someday where we go, oh, yeah, we expected to get that guy. He's number two in the country, as opposed to, can you believe we got that guy?
Why wouldn't you come here? That's the question now. So,
all right.
So those are our top two are football and basketball. But maybe not really three. Maybe right up there with the top two is BYU's runners this year. Mm-hmm. What a year they had. It was highlighted by the men's and women's cross-country teams, both winning national championships at the same time. Like, how amazing was that? There were seven current BYU Cougars that ran in the Paris Olympic Games. And so this has been a phenomenal year for cross country, for track and field, for BYU's track athletes. What's your take on this remarkable year for BYU and what Ed Eystone and Diljit Taylor have done with these programs?
Well, outside of the Cougarettes, there's no more successful program, right, on campus than cross country. And then that has bled into indoor track and then outdoor track, as we just saw, mm-hmm. with James Corrigan winning the national championship. And since you can't show up and watch cross country run, right, because they'll just go past you and then the event's over for you, it's hard for, I think, BYU to grasp how big of a deal this is. But the men's and women's teams both win the national championships. First time that's happened in 20 years. They're probably going to do it again this year.
Yeah, they're loaded.
And that hasn't happened maybe ever. And the way we've seen, there's a BYU runner in every big event. Cross country, indoor track, outdoor track, it doesn't matter. That's what it's become. And then the steeplechase seems to be our thing.
Oh, yeah. BYU is the most dominant program in cross country, that's for sure, and in the distance events. Let's just name some names quick. Cougars in the Olympics. Kenneth Rook, silver medalist in the steeplechase. What? Yeah. And that race was remarkable, what he did in that. James Corrigan, steeplechase. Courtney Wayman ran the steeplechase. Connor Mance ran the marathon. Clayton Young ran the marathon. Rory Linkletter ran the marathon. And Whitney Orton Morgan ran the 5K. All Olympians for BYU, representing BYU. It's such a deep class. And remember, those two of our marathoners ran the two fastest American times in Olympic marathon history. Finished in the top 10. That was pretty amazing. Dominating. Awesome stuff. And then James Corrigan just went and won the individual NCAA yep. national championship in the steeplechase last weekend. What a year
Huge.
For the
Huge.
Runners at BYU.
And across the board. And there's so many others that we're out of time to talk about. But, you know, we've got a new athletic director for the first time in a couple of decades. And
that's a big story.
And all of this.
We'll do a show on that at some point, right?
In the last 12 months. Our question of the day is this. What's the biggest storyline in BYU athletics in 2024-2025? At N8Ricks on X, basketball recruiting. We're in rare air. Isn't it something any of us ever experienced? Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with that. And how about True Blue BYU 1984? Thank you for that, my team yeah. on X. It's BYU football's unexpected 11-2 season and finishing top 15 after starting the season unranked.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We want to hear your opinion. And maybe we missed something. You know, we covered some good stuff, but maybe we missed something.
No matter what, we've had quite a year.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable year. It's Camelot all over again at BYU. So, hey, join us Thursday for a BYU Sports Nation Juneteenth special highlighting inspiring stories of black athletes from BYU and across the Big 12, Thursday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Coming up next, Jonathan Tavenari weighs in on all this BYU basketball hype. JT's awesome. You ask him one question, and then a half hour later,
Maybe.
You ask him a follow-up. We've got JT next on BYU Sports Nation.
The best of BYU Sports Nation will be back after this on BYU Radio. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B with our question of the day, but not before this gem from our friend at 975 Hans. Hans Olsen, former BYU and NFL football player, said, late night games, Coach Kalani Sitake got the answer, who said, get me a Coke and a Cougar tail and I'll be just fine. He offered that on DJ PK, radio show that airs in Utah. Yes, Hans said he's a treasure. Indeed, Kalani is. A Coke and a Cougar tail, I'm good.
He might actually consume that pregame. I believe that that actually could happen in the locker room.
You brought up the question, is that the perfect combination for a late-night BYU football kickoff?
Is that the perfect combination? It's pretty good. I mean, the maple bar is delicious. I remember...
I don't know if I could do that much sugar.
It's like, a lot of sugar.
I'd probably have to do a Coke Zero with the Cougar tail.
Hold on, you don't think you can do that sugar? You walk in with, like, a soda at 9 in the morning.
No. Never. Always
zero sugar.
Zero sugar. Typically some energy element there.
I remember in 21, BYU played Virginia, and it was 66-49. That was a long game.
Got over, like, 1 a.m.
Bronco and the homies in town. It was awesome. I didn't throw away the Cokes I was drinking in the press box. I think I had 5 lined up by the end of the night. Just pounding them.
Wow.
By the way, I worked the Red Bull soapbox race behind the scenes. I hadn't had Red Bull in years. I think I drank 6 on Saturday.
Wow. And
zero,
you're just
10
now,
calories.
You're just now coming off the caffeine kick.
Caffeine doesn't affect me. It really doesn't. I feel nothing when I drink caffeine.
Is that an indicator that it's a problem?
No. No, I'm not a massive like soda drinker. You can find your certain shows on Hulu of local people. They may be, who knows what's going on there.
Do the soapbox derby races take place?
It was next to the Capitol, down to North Temple, right by the temple.
Okay.
It's
a great hill for
it. It was the easiest missionary work experience of my life. I talked to so many people about, what is the temple? What is this? Right? It was awesome. It was so fun.
The world descended on Salt Lake City.
Yes, it did.
Under the flag of Red Bull soapbox
and
derby
I consumed
racing.
The product. It was awesome. I had so much fun. It was great.
Build on common beliefs, Jerem.
Absolutely.
That includes some Red Bull and some Diet Red Bull. Hey, let's go.
Hey, the temple's sitting right there. For the sister missionary, that's what it's like for them. Like, hey, look at this cool
building
here. Let me tell you about it.
Oh, great.
It's awesome.
Okay, so
shout
for
out
you,
safety zone.
So for you, it's a Red Bull and a Cougar tail for your late night college football.
No, because that's not available in the press box. I'm more of a Sprite guy in the press box.
Okay.
I really am. Yeah.
Our question of the day. What is your perfect college football playoff format look like after BYU wins all of those late night games?
Let's
of course,
go.
At Senior Monkey Face on X.
Okay.
You have the freedom to name whatever you
That's
want
the weirdest
yourself
name
to be
of anything we've ever put in the show.
Senior Monkey Face says,
all right.
10 auto bids,
okay.
One for each conference champion, all 6 group of 6 teams.
Oh, we're kind of...
Okay.
14
at large, so 24 teams total, like the FCS model. It is anti-competitive to give special preference to special conferences. They want to include every conference champion and go to a 24-team format.
This person must, I feel like the person here really likes a certain G6 or FCS team. Like a BYU fan in a Power 4 league doesn't think like that, I don't think. So that's interesting.
Miami of Ohio fan here.
Really love the Tulsa Golden Hurricane.
Okay. Interesting take.
Maybe a Weber State fan. Who knows?
Jeremiah_Hale on X says, perfect college football playoff requires conference realignment, relegation, and dissolution of the committee.
Well, who's picking then? You want BCS? Like, what do you want there?
You have to have some type of governance to pick the teams.
You want AI to pick it?
You can't
My
just
idea
strictly
of
go off of like, well,
Chad
the metric
GPT.
Says this.
No.
Like, no.
No. One.
No.
No. A group of people need to come, and there need to be arguments and disagreements and metrics and data points. And
so the people who have teams ranked between
14 and 18 can lose their minds for two straight months.
That's good content, let's be honest.
BYU probably will be in that scenario on more than a few occasions in the years to come.
It'd be nice not to. It'd be nice to win the Big 12 and then you're in.
Jolene Campbell, 65 on X, says 5 automatic qualifiers plus 11 at large, but with a cap of 4 teams max from any given conference.
That is an anti-SEC Big Ten thought right there, if I ever heard one.
That way the polls won't just load up on teams from one conference.
And ultimately, here's the thing. It's most deserving. That's why we like sports. You earn it. You have to do something. It's a meritocracy. It's not just like good vibes. It's like actual merit. So that's interesting, because what if the one conference is unbelievable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they deserve the bids, you know?
What if you had a first four type scenario where it's like 18 and 15 and 17 and 16
play
for the final
games.
Two spots to get into 16?
That's interesting. I don't know that we have the weeks for this. Like in basketball, it's totally feasible. In football, it's not at all. Yeah.
I do love the idea of relegation, though, so much in college football.
Like, it's a fun idea. It'll never happen. Like the reason it happened is because England is way older historically. In soccer. It's like the United States is like, no, it's not a...
You weren't good enough, so you're banished to the MAC.
Can you imagine Rutgers in the MAC? Sorry, Houston. You're in the AAC
you're
again.
In the Mountain West, Houston.
We're like, and it stinks, trust us.
Oh, relegation would be interesting.
It will never happen.
It won't.
In
too much money involved.
Major college
tradition
football.
Tradition involved.
Yeah, it's a fun idea. Don't get me wrong, but...
Win on X, Facebook, and Instagram, your perfect college football playoff.
We stink on this show. Which show do we go? Don't say a show number. Tune in next Monday, June 23rd, for a BYU Sports Nation special. Looking back on BYU football's dominance in the 80s. We got guests Steve Young, Jim McMahon. BYU football back to the 80s, part one, airs this Monday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. This is going to be a really fun show.
We wrap up today's show with a worthy Elite Voice of the Day and fantastic rise and shout out. There'll be no banishing to the MAC. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to Sports Nation here on this, what is it, Tuesday?
It's Tuesday.
It's a Super Tuesday here
in
June.
We were working late together last night. It's Tuesday,
it's
folks.
It's Tuesday. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, our pleasure to be joined by BYU head baseball coach Trent Pratt. There is no offseason anymore. It's just, we were just talking a moment ago, it's just all the time for a college head coach with a program that, like yours, or football or basketball, isn't it? There's really no break.
No, it doesn't. Season ends and hit the road recruiting. We'll have our freshmen showing up this weekend for Summer Bridge, and we have a lot of returners that are back in the weight room getting strong right now. So, yeah, it's just kind of rolling to the next phase.
Yeah, it's full of activity with the players, but if you drive on the way up to here, you drive by the baseball complex and you see tractors and all kinds of things going on. So you got a new pitching and hitting facility that's coming along. Mm-hmm. And workouts are underway, as you mentioned. Let's start with that facility first. What will that do to help improve hitting and pitching and all of the things that you want to improve here, and how will this help the program?
Man, it's a game changer for us. We're thankful for our administration. Like, man, want baseball to be good. And supporting us not only like with that facility, but like this new landscape we're in with the rev share. They want baseball to be good. They want what we want as coaches and players, that, man, we want to be playing in the postseason in the NCAA tournament. And so having this facility and the investment they're making in that, and, you know, with the rev share, they're helping us out that way. Our players are going to have a chance to train. We'll be able to develop guys better. Just have access, man, for them to be able to get in the cages and work and get better. So also recruiting. You've seen them. It's already, I mean, we have kids all over the country come and say, man, we can't believe the stadium, what it looks like. Now, adding that to the development side to help our players get better and take our next step for a program is a huge deal for us.
Let's think of that magical night in the stadium. You beat Texas Tech. You clinch a date in the Big 12 tournament. There's fireworks. The place is packed. And now more fans will actually be able to sit down that line as well, on top of the pitching and catching facility and hitting facility.
Yeah, it's good for everyone. Good for our fans. Good for our players. And we're excited for it to get done so we can get in there and get to work and, you know, start getting guys better.
When players come, How big are facilities when you're trying to recruit? I mean, do they really look at that? Do the families look at this? Do they compare? And if you don't, now you're going to compete for sure. If you don't compete, is it harder to get kids to come?
Yeah, I think so, especially on the pitching side with all the new analytics and things they're having. That's a big deal as far as development goes. So for us to have those resources now to say, hey, look, we have all the resources as far as like on the development side to help you guys get better is a huge deal for us on the recruiting side and player development side, because that's what it's about. It's about getting guys here and getting them better. And that's what kids want. They want to see that, hey, is this school invested? Do they want to get us better? Do they have the same dreams that we have? And so to see the school, you know, making a commitment like this is really big for us.
Another thing that helps in the offseason is momentum. So you go to the Big 12 tournament, you shut out Arizona State in the first round. Stuns them. They go on to the NCAA tournament, but they're blanked and a great opportunity for you to get a taste, because that's where you want to be. You want to be, the College World Series is going on right now. That's where you want to be next year. So there's a bit of momentum having beaten the Sun Devils on that stage to take into workouts, isn't there?
Yeah, now it's just taking the next step. Hey, the conference tournament now, man, the expectation, our goal is we should play in the NCAA tournament. And that's the expectation from us, administration. That's expectation from our players. So we have probably like our 10 core guys that, you know, pretty much played every game for us on the pitching side.
Yeah.
We talked, and for them to get better, they got to get bigger and stronger. So those guys are in the weight room every day at 12 o'clock, hold each other accountable. If you're not going to be there, you better text the group. You better get your lift in. And so those things are just going to carry us over into next fall to get this program where it needs to be, and that's in the NCAA tournament.
Whenever we talk, we always talk about pitching, because pitching is king, right? You've got to be good, and you've got to not just be good, but you've got to be deep.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching was a little bit of a struggle at times this last season. You mentioned you got a lot of guys back. So what's the focus this offseason for that group, and are there any additions that you can talk about that will help move forward into this next season and get you to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think the big thing is those guys that are here, like, getting together and building that culture now where it's, hey, we know they're hungry. They got a little taste of the postseason this year, and it's hungry about, hey, we got to take another step next year. So I think them getting that taste this year has made them hungry and, man, want to work harder and get after even more as a group. And on the pitching side, we had some injuries last year that cost us a little bit, and getting guys healthy like Kaysen Bell, Peyton Gubler, we had some freshmen get injured. So that's where the depth comes in. And obviously we have some freshmen coming in, and then, you know, in the transfer portal trying to get one or two arms to come help us get better. And it's about depth, 100%. In this league, it's not about having one or two of them. It's about having six or seven or eight, nine, 10 deep where you can just keep rolling them out there. And so we've seen what this league has, and we've also seen that we can compete at the highest level too.
Right.
Now it's just being more consistent, you know, from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and getting after it that way.
Justice Reiser, Ashton Johnson, those guys are good lefties that you have coming back. And Rocco Liberate, we saw him just toward the end when he got healthy. At 6'4", he's got all kinds of potential pitching.
Yeah, the sky's the limit. Like I said, came as an infielder, went on a mission, came back, was in the infield, and he had pitched in high school. We asked him to get on the mound, and you saw in flashes what it could be. So he's home right now pitching, you know, here, and he's in the weight room. He's already put on like 5 or 10 pounds. So, like, those guys know, they see what it needs to take, and they're hungry as ever to get after it.
You mentioned pitching coming back, but you've also got a great core of guys that – were stellar in the field this last year. Crew McChesney's back, Ryder Robinson, Luke Anderson, Herdsman's back, Parker Goff's back at catcher, all tremendous defensive players. What can you do with that group to build as you move forward?
Man, it's a lot to build off. We pretty much lost three guys from our lineup, and having the six of those guys back that pretty much played every day is, man, as comforting as a coach, you know, hey, you have an old and experience always helps. And not only that, like, we had guys in the pipeline that are ready to come, and they kind of played sparingly as a freshman, having good summers, like Matt Hansen, Ezra McNaughton, Ridge Erickson. So there's guys that are ready to step in, you know, just like those seniors did when they were young. They weren't contributors at early, and now as the years went on, they got better and better and better. And I think that's one thing our program's always done is on the development side is we've gotten guys better each year. And so that's going to continue to happen. So now it's a couple other guys' turn to step up and get in the lineup and go get it done for us.
That pipeline up the middle, you go Goff, you got Robinson, who proved to be one of the best defensive shortstops in the Big 12 and hit some home runs for you. And then you got to center field, and you got McChesney, who reminds me of that guy for the Cubs, Pete Crow Armstrong.
Everything comes back to the Cubs for
with
him.
With his ability
like
and
Armstrong,
his speed.
The way Pete's playing, yeah.
Yeah, but his speed, and he's still growing up too. But man, that's a solid group for you to build on.
Yeah, that's where championships are won, is up the middle. You know, from the catcher to the mound, your guys, you know, second baseman, shortstop, and center fielder. And so those are usually your best athletes on the field. And so we'll continue to recruit that way. And we're excited about the group we have coming back, the experience and you know, the attitude those guys have right now to want to keep getting better.
There's technology and analytics and some whole new stuff coming into your program that can help you get to where you want to go. What will that do here in the offseason?
Man, it's just going to allow us to keep getting better. For not just our own eyes to tell us what we're looking at, but the kids be able to see, hey, this is what we're talking about. And so it's real. They know that they can see exactly what's going on, and it's instant feedback. I think kids need that a lot right now, is that instant feedback and knowing, hey, this is what's going on. This is how I fix it. This is how I get better.
Promise me we're opening the season in Hawaii or Mexico.
I'm trying to think where we're at opening
season
right now.
Somewhere warm and
we always volunteer to go call any of those games.
Always somewhere warm, right?
Yeah.
So, somewhere on the West Coast, somewhere nice and warm.
We'll go to Mexico,
get ready
too.
To go.
We're
yeah.
good for that.
We'll oh, yeah, softball goes to Mexico. So, baseball needs to get that rolling.
We do need to get that rolling.
Yeah, so, no, but we're excited. That's the thing, is this program, you know, we took one step forward this year. Now it's time to take another step. And we have the group coming back that we think can, you know, can do that.
Right. Nothing can replace experience, and you have it this year.
Yes.
It's exciting. We're looking forward to it too, Coach. Yeah. Thanks for being here with
no,
us.
No, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Have a great summer. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, sounds good.
BYU Coach Trent Pratt. When we come back, speaking of great summers, we'll see what Jarom's
oh,
doing.
Oh, goodness. I don't want to see
a golf
swing.
Course as BYU Sports Nation rolls on here on a Tuesday in Provo.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
These are your Wednesday headlines.
Kelly Ford released his Big 12 football projected standings for 2025. BYU projected to finish third in the Big 12. Win total of 5.5 conference games. Calm down, conference games. Ford has BYU with a 25% chance to match last year's total of 7 Big 12 wins.
Ooh, I feel like we need to discuss that in a future show, Jarom.
We'll have time.
College football insider Brett McMurphy reporting yesterday, the conference commissioners have decided to, quote unquote, start over on deciding the 2026 college football playoff format. McMurphy said that the Big Ten and SEC originally pushed for 4 automatic qualifiers, each with 2 automatic qualifiers given to the ACC and Big 12. But after some notable pushback from Brett Yormark in the Big 12 and the ACC, the most recent model included 5 automatic qualifiers and then 11 at-large bids for a 16-team format. The deadline for finalizing all of this is December 1st.
Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger reports members of a new committee of power conference administrators are, quote, exploring ways to overhaul a 365-day college football calendar that was originally built for an amateurism system. College executives are reinventing a dated calendar to marry with the House settlement-related athlete revenue-sharing model set to begin July 1st, end quote. He outlined 3 specific issues here. 1, choosing between a single transfer portal window in January or April. 2, moving signing day up from December and February to August or even earlier. 3, and a proposal to move team spring practices to the summer.
All intriguing, and if you missed our conversation about it earlier, go back and listen. Some NBA draft news from Bleacher Report, who have BYU point guard Yegor Demin projected at number 17 to the Minnesota Timberwolves in their most recent NBA mock draft. 17 feels a bit low. NBA draft gets underway a week from today, June 25th and 26th in Brooklyn.
Trevor Nell tried out and is now a part of USA 3x3 basketball's pool of players. He'll be on their second world tour coming up. He'll join and play for Team USA in an exhibition game coming up in Germany. Congratulations to Trevor Nell. We saw him yesterday at the corporate sponsorship team golf event, which was awesome. We're super excited for him.
Everybody needs a quick trigger elite three-point shooter.
I think he'll be really good in 3x3. I really do. He told me no one's going to get mad at me for shooting a quick three.
Exactly.
That 12-second shot.
Exactly. And the final program rankings from the USTF CCCA were released this morning, comprising cross-country and indoor-slash-outdoor track and field championship performances.
Give it to me.
BYU's men's program earned a number 3
nice,
ranking.
Nice.
The women's program earned a number 4 ranking.
Hey, top 5 for both.
Top
That's amazing.
4 for both.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
The combo ranking.
This is a running school. I keep telling everybody.
All right. Good vibes all around there.
The best of BYU Sports Nation. We'll be right back. Rise and shout for the trending topics of the week
here on the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Next on BYUSN, here we go again. The landscape of college football on a path for more big changes. The latest details on what those potential changes could be. Plus, what does the perfect college football playoff format look like? We're about to show you!
Delaney Gibb and Sydney Benali of women's basketball join us to update summer workouts, why the program's headed in the right direction. And Trevin Nell headed to play for USA 3x3 basketball. Jimmer! Do we like the fit? And is BYU building a pipeline to 3x3?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, June 18th. I am Spencer Linton alongside Team USA Basketball court caretaker, Jerem Jordan.
We'll talk about Trevin in a minute, but how did AJ DeBonta, a highlight came out on Twitter that was unbelievable at USA U19 practice. He's got a hezzy from three. One dribble, throw it out.
Okay.
We've never seen a dude like this play at BYU. I mean, there are a lot of schools that haven't had a dude like this. At Saul_Bookman, which is not to be confused with Saul.
Some laundry on the court!
Some laundry, baby!
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Can't wait to see that in the Marriott Center.
That move right there, I said it on the call this morning, is like Kyrie Irving with the handles and then the finish with Tracy McGrady. Like the combo move.
Giannis,
there.
One dribble to cover, what's 3-point line, 22 something?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I believe our good friend, was it Steve Pierce? Yeah, I believe Steve Pierce said.
At Post Jimmer?
Yep, at Post Jimmer said, when he does that in a BYU uniform, my head will explode.
His head's about to explode because he's a Thunder fan.
Woo! One win for the NBA Finals.
He's pretty excited. Meanwhile, our producer, Colton Potter, welcome back as of Monday from his three-week paternity leave. He'll take three more weeks in the next 11 months, don't you worry. Is that he wants the Pacers to come back. But without Tyrese, injured, could play, but he's injured. It's not looking good.
Just give me game seven. I want game seven, Jerem.
I know.
I want game seven.
We didn't get it in the Stanley Cup final. Shout out to the Florida Panthers.
We need it.
We wanted it. We don't get it. We probably won't go to game seven in the NBA final.
I'm speaking it into existence. Okay. Game seven is going to happen in the NBA Finals.
That works.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
As a proponent of the Big 12, you should take the 4-4-2-2-1. The Big 12 will likely get crushed by the 5+11 model. And what is the point of BYU football right now competitively? It's to make the playoff.
Right. We want this to play out on the field.
What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. More changes on the horizon, we think, for college football, Jerem. And we'll dive right into that. The Action Network's Brett McMurphy, friend of the program, reported late last night on those changes coming to the college football playoff starting in 2026. Here is his full statement, and I quote, "Conference commissioners have decided to start over on determining the 2026 college football playoff format," sources said. Big Ten and SEC initially wanted four automatic qualifiers each, with two each to the ACC and Big 12. However, ACC and Big 12 pushed back. SEC coaches later publicly did not support the 4AQ model, instead preferring 5AQ plus 11 at-large format for 16-team playoff, as did the ACC and Big 12.
Well,
it continues. Okay. The SEC wants more value given to strength of schedule metrics,
of course,
something
they do.
College football playoff executives discussed in today's meetings. However, a source cautioned, even if strength of schedule is supposed to carry more weight with the committee, it still boils down to their opinions on who they think are the best teams. The human factor, people. Deadline for finalizing the 2026 college football playoff format is December 1st. There's a lot in there. What do you take away immediately from this report, Jerem?
I like that there was pushback. What you heard from me at the start of this segment was, if it was this or that, then I would prefer the 4-4-2-2-1 model. But it's not. There was pushback. And so they're looking at it again. And I'm glad that the SEC coaches themselves were saying, no, let's not get this automatic thing, which is a bit surprising that they would say that. Like, why not have four automatic if you can get it? But it's nice to know that just because the SEC and Big Ten want something, they don't just get it. So I like this. I like the idea that we could go back to this. Now, there are two pieces to this, though. I think ultimately in a 16-team playoff like this, the SEC will probably get four in. But we'd like to think that the Big 12 and BYU could be in the mix more than they have been. But that's under the current constitution of what's been happening in the Big 12. Who's to say that will continue forever? What if the Big 12 suddenly has three teams that are consistently awesome and in the mix now? Now that two would have been not enough. So there are things to think about, certainly. And if you're a team like BYU, we certainly hope that the Cougars can start to build a situation where 11-2 last year was not a one-off, Spencer. It was more of, hey, BYU is kind of flirting, kind of K-State vibes of like flirting with 9-plus almost every year. And you have those special years like last year where you get 11-2 and perhaps you can get in. Last year, BYU would have been the first team out, given what they ranked on the final day.
Which was a joke.
Right. But we will talk about in a second what the perfect format could look like as you take a look at what it could have been, right? They had BYU at 17 in that final ranking. It'd be interesting. And I'm glad there was pushback, and I'm excited to see what they figure out, but they have to. My dad's from Asheville, North Carolina. Should I just send him to the meetings and have him report live from these? Back in his hometown, which is fun. They're talking about a lot of stuff, which we'll get into in a second.
Our mobile reporter, Jerem Jordan's father.
David Jordan, what up?
Nokia 9532 phone.
Probably.
Or whatever it is.
It's got a BlackBerry still. I'm just kidding. Sometimes I'm like, why isn't FaceTime working in 2025?
Okay, I want to clarify on something you said, so I understand. You like the idea of the Big 12 having two automatics.
If it's this or that, yes, because currently they wouldn't be getting in two. But as I pointed out, this isn't to say that will always be the case for the Big 12. They could create more competition here. But as currently constituted, the Big 12 would benefit from getting two. They may not get a second in very often or at all.
A few other things I would like to bring up.
Other one.
I love that Brett Yormark pushes back against the powers that be. He does not care. Like, I love that there was this dramatic tussle behind the scenes with strong verbiage in the meetings, and that Greg Sankey and the SEC are just super annoyed
prepared
by the
statements.
Big 12. Like, I love that. It tells me everything I need to know about Brett Yormark, that he is fighting for the betterment of the Big 12 conference. He doesn't care.
Well, they don't want to kiss the ring, Spence.
No.
They don't want to acknowledge.
Or should they?
Yeah.
Like, fight for your conference, and he does.
Fight for your right to get into the college football playoff party.
Yes. Yes. So I really, really like that Brett Yormark and his constituents continue to just fight the powers. Yeah. A little Rage Against the Machine on the mind.
The ultimate. Now testify. The ultimate fight back is on the field, though, is to produce multiple teams that deserve to be in the playoffs.
No doubt about it.
So that you don't have just the champ.
I do enjoy the idea of the Big 12 every year having two teams in the college football playoff. But I am more strongly of the opinion, and we'll get into the specifics of this in a moment, that you should just be in the top 16 and earn it. Just earn it!
That's assuming that the Group of Five team is top 16.
Because they would be a bid stealer at that point. Like, if the best Group of Five team's number 18 or number 20, they're taking
the top 15 plus that team. Yes.
Yes.
So essentially top 15 as well.
Yes. So I actually am a little surprised that the SEC coaches moved so quickly.
I am too.
They moved very quickly.
I don't get it outside of just being a competitor.
Until I heard this, the SEC believes that they actually have maybe a better chance of getting more teams in the college football playoff.
Meaning six, not the 4+1 at large?
Yes.
Interesting.
Like,
can we put up that graphic again of last year's top 16 there?
How many SEC teams would have been in the top 16,
Let's look at that
16,
again.
Right?
Because BYU going into the selection time was 17. Okay, so this is what it would have. So SEC teams, 2 Georgia.
Texas.
6 Texas. Mm-hmm. 10 Tennessee, mm-hmm. That's 3. Alabama, 13. Ole Miss, South Carolina.
6. 6 SEC teams.
So that's why they don't want the 4-4-2-2.
It makes total sense. Like, why? Well, why would they move so quickly? Oh, it's because they think they can get maybe more teams in instead of having to give
more options to potential bid stealers from other conferences.
Yeah. That makes total sense. Great point. And if strength of schedule is included, like you read, then yes, then Alabama and Ole Miss with three losses would get in over a two-loss BYU in that situation. BYU would have been the first team out last year, and that would have been hard to deal with.
The strength of schedule was brought up by whatever source Brett McMurphy is using here.
Any SEC, anybody.
I'm gathering that's probably an SEC person.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so
they need a better metric.
Walk me through this then. What's your perfect playoff format?
I am totally in line with five automatic qualifiers and 11 at-large teams.
Four power four, one
yes.
group of six.
You win your conference, and you can determine that however you want to, whether you need a conference championship game or not. In fact, I'm wearing the same shirt.
You are wearing the same shirt.
Nice work turning that around today, crew. Nice work. That immediate turnaround. Picture taken here.
You know what? I was completely distracted from the actual text on the graphic. Can we show it again?
Okay. Five conference champions, the four power four,
yep.
and then highest ranked group of five,
yep.
11
yep.
at large. Yes, you pointed out that what if the group of five team is ranked outside of the top 16? Then it would be the 15 best teams plus wherever the group of five and their best is.
Group of six, respect the new Pac-12.
Now, okay,
that could be Utah State.
There is a very small chance that one of the Power Four conferences could have an absolutely terrible year, and maybe their champion is ranked number 18.
That's true.
And that could also steal a bid.
Let's be honest, though. I don't see that happening.
I don't think that the Power Four champions will be outside of the top 16. Maybe in a weird year on a very rare occasion.
Probably not.
What I do need, Jeremy, is I need a net ranking system for college football.
Agreed.
We have to have – there are enough metrics out there and enough smart people and algorithms, because we've seen it in basketball, that you can do it for the king of all college sports, which is college football, the biggest money sport. Why do you not have a metric like they use for the NCAA tournament with a human selection committee to be able to use?
And then they're like, well, we're just going to ask Grok – and ChatGPT, and those will all be the different Nope. I agree with you. I would like a net ranking that's a sorting tool of sorts. Then we can go, that was a quad one win for BYU on the road at Iowa State or whatnot. This is a quad two game with Colorado because We could just kind of have more data points. I don't want like a million data points. Don't get me wrong. I love stats and all that, but... yeah, I agree with you. Also, I would like to know what metrics they're using entirely. Like, what exactly are they looking at? In basketball, we know what the committee looks like. They have a team sheet. The coaches have it. They change their scheduling based on team sheets in those situations. Chris Burgess, Kevin Young have talked about. They looked at Arizona. They had the same exact conference record. Arizona didn't win a big non-conference game, a single quad one non-conference game last year, and had a seed two spots better just because they played the games, not won the games in non-conference, played the games.
So that's why BYU has gone out and significantly challenged themselves early in the season.
Thank you, AJ DeBonsa, and everyone that wants to see him play and this team too. I'm with you on that. Yep. I want two rounds of home games, and then you can go to these neutral site traditional games with the 16. I don't want any buys. I want straight
up. No buys. 16 teams would be no buys.
No buys, right? Just straight up. But, like, can you imagine if BYU was a top 8 seed and they got a home game in the playoffs?
Taking on the number 9 seed?
Taking on the 9 seed, if they were the N8 seed or whatever. Or if you were let's say they were the 4 seed, Spence. They were that good that year. They're undefeated. They're 13-0, and they're a top 4 seed. And they would have two home games to the semifinals. That would be awesome. That would be cool.
So you want to take away some of the bowl games in the quarterfinals.
Well, you're right. I guess there's one. I guess the quarters, you probably need to insert that. It's just the first
better seeded team has a home game. There are no buys.
One home game.
You're taking away the buys.
You're right. It wouldn't work for two. It's one home game, and then you throw in the traditional.
Now, if you wanted
for some reason, we need to cater to those still. I don't know why.
Yeah. If you wanted the playoff to expand to 24, then we're talking about multiple home
games. We go to 48.
No.
No. You're right. It's just first round. Why do we need to cater to the traditional bowl games? Just money and tradition?
I'm gathering that the almighty dollar may have something to do with why those bowl games continue to be associated with the quarterfinals and semifinals.
I don't mind. I don't need peach. I'm not from the South, so I don't care about the Peach Bowl. But, like, the Cotton Bowl, sure. Rose, great. All that. Sugar, orange. okay. We were just using simple resources back in the day. Rose, sugar, cotton. Like, they couldn't come up with more creative names back in the day. Just, like, simple things. The bread bowl.
Tradition,
Jeremy. That would have been a good one, right? Come on.
It's tradition.
what? Fiddler on the Roof?
Yeah, the bread bowl. And then it rains. Tradition. You just wait for it to rain at the bread bowl. It's like, oh, soggy bread bowl. that's in the Independence Bowl, okay? It's Shreveport 2021. Soggy bread bowl of a bowl game.
Is BYU out of the soggy bowl game era? Are we out of that now?
Our question of the day.
I learned so much in that segment. Things I didn't know, even about myself.
Come on!
Yeah.
What does your perfect college football playoff format look like? At first and 12. The Roman numerals.
I like that.
They say on X, 5 automatic qualifiers plus 11. Earn it on the field.
Yeah, for sure.
If there are 6 SEC teams that are good enough based on what I hope is an implemented metric that the committee will use.
Spencer, metrics. We can't just rely on one.
The Massey rating.
Then it's BCS.
Yes.
Like, then it's BCS if it's just one.
Bring that. Bring back strength of schedule, the Massey rating, the football power index. Like, give me all of it.
Yes. Just data points to use in the conversation of what you think. That's what I want.
Like, I want to be able to say, what is BYU football's net ranking right now at week 9?
What were they in quad 1 games? What were they in quads? I like the quad system. It's not perfect, but it's better than stupid RPI.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I don't hate a lot of things in this world. I hate RPI. Okay.
At CDShaw99 on X, probably hates RPI as well. They say 2 automatic qualifiers from each of the Power 4. So 8 AQs and 1 G5 auto qualifier. Make that 9 automatic qualifiers and 7 at large based on ranking and strength of schedule, bare minimum 16-team playoff.
That's an interesting
2 per conference.
Yeah, little even flow Pearl Jam there. That's interesting with 2 from each Power 4.
Greg Sankey's head might explode even at the prospect
we're
of
equal with the
considering
the
something
12?
Like that.
No way, man. if you do want to earn it on the field, then you don't do the 2. You don't do the 2. If it was 2, Spence, you now eliminate a Big 12 title game in my mind, and you just go 1-4-2-3 for the bids, if they did that.
A playoff to get in the playoff at that point.
Yep. But because the league's too big, Spence, we benefited from this.
16-team conference
of the tiebreakers eliminate you, like BYU. They didn't have a shot at it because of a tiebreaker.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. What does your perfect college football playoff format look like?
Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger reported yesterday that members of a new committee of power conference administrators are exploring ways to overhaul a 365-day college football calendar. Mm. Put it in your Franklin planner that was originally built for an amateurism system. Amateurism, that's gone. College executives are reinventing a dated calendar to marry with the House settlement-related athlete revenue sharing model set to begin July 1st.
Yes.
Here are 3 specific issues at the forefront of this agenda. 1, choosing between a single transfer portal window in January or in April. 2, moving signing day up from December and February to August or even earlier. And a proposal to move teams' spring practices to summer. Would these changes, or the idea of these changes, be good for college football in this new revenue-sharing era?
I like a few of these, and I feel like, because they have been well thought out, that they naturally are intertwined. I am in favor of a single transfer portal window.
When?
But if spring football still happens, then I wouldn't want to do it in April. However, if they move spring practice to after April, then that makes sense. So if the portal window is in April and then spring practice starts in June, then yeah, sign me up. I feel like there's natural flow there. What I hate to see is what happened to BYU, where a guy like Keelan Marion goes through the entirety of spring football and we're all bought in. It's like,
and then
yeah,
gets offered
and then he's
a
gone.
Massive number.
Yeah, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
I hate that. I think that's bad for the sport. I don't like the movement there. Not saying I don't want players to be able to move, so I am in favor of
The timing.
A portal window. But I think the timing is terrible there.
Yeah.
I think it hurts the teams, and it hurts the sanctity of the sport to a small degree. I'm happy.
There's sanctity in the sport still?
I'm holding on, Jerry.
Yes, we are.
I'm holding on.
Once the game kicks off, there's sanctity, but I don't know that there is before.
And I'm happy that a guy, I love Keelan. He earned the right to go get paid and to play at a high level and seek a better, bigger opportunity in his mind.
I was told it was seven figures, by the way. So it's hard to, you know, blame a guy for seeking that.
I would rather it be like, okay,
if it's off.
Well, he's going and then practices happen. So
right.
If you're after the portal, like you're in with the team.
Yes, I heard Brian Kelly of LSU say, I want to know who my team is in January.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Let's do the portal then, and then I can train with them all year. Like,
great.
We practice in the spring, and then the summer we're doing meetings and playbook and all that, and then we train again, and then we play. It is interesting. So I would be in favor of one portal window in January only.
Okay.
It is awkward, though, for the playoff teams. So I could see where you... The only reason I would like it in April is if they did move the practices
to June.
Right? To later. Then you're getting ready. Do you you go June hard, you go July off, and then you practice again in August or something? I'm not sure how that would work. It is a little awkward because, let's be honest, the sort of fiscal calendar year now seems to be kind of July through June with revenue sharing and whatnot, as I understand it. Maybe I'm off on that, and it's January through December. But it's a little tough to sort of deal with that because in that article it also mentioned schools can now offer revenue share contracts to high school prospects August 1st of their senior year.
Mm.
So you kind of the dance that Dave George and everybody at BYU have in sort of trying to figure out, okay, what are we offering? What are we under the cap for a given year in all the sports, let alone in our one sport of football and so on and so forth, with portal windows. Signing day, I would love to move, by the way.
December and February are terrible dates.
I think that...
December stinks.
I would love for it to be like July 1st. I really would.
Okay.
Because I do want the coaches to have a break at some point, which is July right now. But right now, there's a bunch of dudes on their official visits. There's a notable five-star quarterback BYU's trying to get hanging out this week on campus, which is exciting. If that dude feels it and knows it, let him sign now. Let him sign now. I would love for it to be in this kind of OV period. The biggest recruiting for next year that gets done is right now, this month, for BYU and a lot of schools.
It would be entertaining to have, in a very short time frame, conference media days happening, then signing day, and then training camp start, like, all around the same area. So, like, mid-July until the first week of August, it's just all football, all kind of in that period.
What if their off season was January, February, March, right? They kind of focus on school, do the harder classes then, and then you get into this like, yeah, then you do kind of the portal stuff or and signing and transfer and revenue share. There's a lot going on now. It's pro sports now.
I'm glad these conversations are happening.
It's pretty pro here.
I feel like it's really good that these conversations are happening. They should.
Yeah.
Everything should be discussed.
I don't believe in massive wholesale changes in my life. What I believe in is a million tiny ones constantly. Because then you look back in a year and you go, oh, look, I changed all these little things. We're headed in a different direction. I think that's what they're trying to do, and I like them.
Come on. Yeah. Told you we had a lot to discuss. We're just getting going.
It's June 18th. Why is it so juicy today?
Just getting going.
Join us tomorrow for a BYU Sports Nation Juneteenth special highlighting inspiring stories of black athletes from BYU and across the Big 12. Tomorrow, noon Eastern, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, Delaney Gibb, BYU women's basketball star, and newcomer Sydney Benali
of
BYU Women's Hoops. Join us for an update on summer workouts and why the program is heading in the right direction. This is BYUSN.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
I just want to kind of grow on the season that I had last year. I hope that this year I can just step up, be more of a leader, and help our team win more games.
She's a complete player. She can shoot it. She can guard it. She's going to be a key person for us this upcoming season.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. Just across the way a dynamic duo from BYU women's basketball. They are star Delaney Gibb and one of the newcomers for Lee Kumard's squad, Sydney Benali. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
I know that summer workouts are a huge part of your off-season regimen, but naturally, because it is summer, we have to ask, what do you do besides play basketball? You do have a moment, per se, to catch your breath. Delaney, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been traveling like crazy, but I love Utah because there's so many lakes and so much to do outside. And so when it's hot out, I'll always be outside.
You're an outdoorsy person.
Yeah.
Okay, Sydney, are you joining the fun yet, or is that to come?
I've only been here for probably a full week, so just getting used to everything, the routine, and getting used to campus.
Okay, Sydney, tell us about yourself. You're the Gatorade Player of the Year in New Mexico, I believe, the last 2 years. Big-time scorer, defender. Why BYU, and what are you most excited about with this experience?
Why BYU? I feel like it's closer to home, and it's closest to the just Indian country. I'm Navajo, and so I'm able to just be an example for other Native Americans and just play at this next level.
Let's dive into that. You've talked about how you represent Navajo Nation, and now you get to do it at the college level. What kind of opportunity is there to represent Navajo Nation and now Cougar Nation?
I think it's just a great opportunity just to show my community and then be a part of another community is great. I'm just excited just to be that example and show that it's possible.
Delaney, I'm sure you've talked to Sydney and others about the culture around the team with Coach Kumard, and there are always some big question marks when you do have a coaching change, but you've told us you're all in on Lee. You love him. So what type of culture is he establishing for Sydney and the rest of your newcomer teammates?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great so far. Summer workouts have been great. I've said this before, but Lee talks a lot about excellence and just doing everything that we can every moment within the day. And so if we're trying to be a team that wins, we have to do everything right now that we can to get there. And so really just holding ourselves accountable, holding our teammates accountable, doing every single little thing that's going to get us to the next level.
What are some of the things that stick out, Sydney, as you come to BYU and you plug into this culture and new coaching staff?
I think just the girls around, they're close-knit and just trying to be a part of it through this first week, but I know it'll continue to develop. Coach Lee, he truly is a studier of the game. He's very direct in his coaching, and he truly does believe in us.
Have you seen his highlights from college?
I need to.
This dude was a baller. You need to check out some of the highlights. They'll be an SD on YouTube, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah. They're not going to be that crisp.
Granulated
they're
highlights.
A little old.
Like, wait, is that actually Lee? I'm not sure.
He had game.
He shows game. Off his skills in practice.
He probably still does.
He can still shoot it.
He can still play.
Delaney Gibb and Sydney Benali are on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, question for you, Delaney. This is an important and fun offseason for you outside of BYU basketball as you represent Team Canada. So what's ahead for you in the near future?
Yeah, so in a couple weeks, I'm going to be heading to Chile with the senior Canadian national team. We're going to be competing in the AmeriCup, which is really exciting. It'll be my first time suiting up with the senior team. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing.
That's big time. How old were you when you thought that might be a reality for you?
Yeah, honestly, the first time I ever thought about it was the first time I was able to make a Canadian national team. And so
how old were you?
That would have been, I would have been going into my sophomore year of high school. So
just 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, 15. But ever since then, it's been my main goal, my biggest dream.
What does that mean to you to represent your country in that way? Because that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, honestly, it's like the best feeling ever to be able to represent a huge, amount of people. And it's not only my country, but it's my family, it's my community at Raymond. And so I just get to represent, such a great country, such a great group of people.
Obviously, the style of play is a little bit different at the international level. There are some alternate rules. So
I missed the trapezoid, by the way. Wish that'd come back,
Yeah, what type of preparation does that take to get in the right mindset when you head to Chile and you're going to be in that environment with those new rules?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I have a bit of a advantage because I grew up playing FIBA basketball. So it comes back, you know, it takes a little bit, but the rules come back to me. Honestly, at going to camp, the biggest difference was the physicality on defense. You know, it's not the, if you touch someone, you're not going to get a foul. Like, you can be way more physical. You can be a little more handsy and up in the offensive player's grill, which I really enjoy.
I would like that just in general for basketball.
Yes.
Sydney, I've heard you're a great defender, speaking of. What type of game do you have? What do you pride yourself on?
I do pride myself on defense. Defense wins championships. And I feel like we can get easy buckets off of defense. And as a player, I just want to put my teammates in the best position. So defense first for me.
And then I heard you can really shoot it. Do you pride yourself on three-pointers?
I would say, yeah, I can shoot it. But, yeah, I've been working on my shot lately.
And let's talk about the Native American Basketball Invitational, or NABI. Last July, you were the tournament MVP for the Rez Bombers. Tell us about the Rez Bombers and that tournament. And then I know recently you played in a tournament, scored 32 in the title game.
Yeah.
So you get buckets. No one that scores 32 doesn't get buckets.
Oh, yeah. So I've been playing with Rez Bombers for 2 years. And I believe we call it Rez Ball. It's just running gun. So it is a lot of threes. You can be down 15 and then a minute later you're already back in the game. And so... it's just a different type of intensity, different type of style, and I enjoy it. It brings me back to my roots of Native ball and playing back on the reservation.
Hey, that sounds fun to me.
Love
up and
it.
Down, get some threes out, let's go.
Newcomer Sydney Benally joining Delaney Gibb on BYU Sports Nation. We asked you if you'd seen Coach Kamard's highlights, which is kind of an iffy answer. we'll let that one slide. But have you seen Delaney's highlights?
I sure have.
Yes. Okay. What's your impression of your teammate based on those highlights and now being around her for a week?
I see that she can score it, and she's a facilitator for her team. Yeah.
All right. I like that. That's a solid take right there.
It wouldn't be a Delaney Gibb interview without a question about one Yegor Demon. Next week in the draft. How you feeling about his chances of being a high pick and obviously a great fit? And why is it the Utah Jazz where you want him to go?
Yeah.
Because that's where we want him to go.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like everyone here wants him to go to the Utah Jazz. I'm super excited for him. I mean, he's obviously a great basketball player, but he's an even better person. And so I really think wherever he goes, he's going to be great. But yeah, I may be biased. I may think he's going to go higher than other people, but honestly, I'm just excited to see where he goes and yeah, the rest of his journey.
These projections in the 20s are just crazy to us. We're like, he's not going to be outside the top 15.
I agree.
And he's excited, so we can't wait to see where he goes.
Yeah. It's an off season of change. We already talked about the coaching change, Lee Kamard in charge. You have a new athletic director in Brian Santiago, though he's been around for a long time. And Delaney, I know this, probably resonates more with you because you were with Brian and Tom, and now Brian takes over. And then there's this push from a government ruling for NIL. And so how are you handling all of the different changes in collegiate athletics and specifically within the BYU athletic department?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have such a great supporting group. And so, I mean, obviously having a head coaching change is not easy, but having Lee as someone who I've known for so long, it's easier than it, you know, it could have been a lot harder. And so I think we just have so many supporting people that are there to help guide us and, you know, have our backs. For me, it's really exciting. I think there's so many exciting things surrounding college sports and women's basketball. And so I'm honestly just excited. I'm trying to stay present and focus on what I need to do today.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sydney, it's sometimes not easy for a new basketball player. And by new, I mean coming to a new program when there has been a coaching change. So how did you navigate that scenario when there was some uncertainty?
I think just first off, putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then with my family support, Coach Lee recruited me for a long time, and so I trusted him. And then with all these changes, I think Delaney said it best, just staying present, and just with the support around us, I feel good.
Sydney, you fit in here great. You really do. Let's go. Tell us about off the court. What do you like to do in your life? Kind of who are you besides a basketball player?
Besides a basketball player, I think just coming off from New Mexico, we had our own farm, so I do care for animals, a lot of dogs, and just I think I'm an outdoorsy person, and just taking in the scenery of Utah, it's just different from New Mexico. I would say just as beautiful.
Have you talked to the president, President Shane Reese? He's from Albuquerque.
No, I haven't.
We need to connect you guys. He's a New Mexico guy. Yeah, he would connect. That's awesome.
There'll be a nice conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Also, people need to visit Santa Fe. It's like a hidden gem.
It's
a hidden gem. Sydney and Delaney, great to have you with us on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned the word support. The new athletic director, Brian Santiago, has been very outspoken about how much support he wants women's athletics to feel specifically. So I guess I'll throw in a bonus question here in that light. When you watch him and listen to him talk about the power of women in sports, specifically at BYU, what does that do for you emotionally?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brian's great. And so to know that he loves women's sports and he's going to support us that heavily, it's really refreshing. It's something that's exciting. And so I'm stoked. I'm so excited for the future and, you know, everything that's to come.
Butts in seats. More people in the Marriott Center to watch this team this year. It's going to be awesome. Let's go.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and welcome to BYU, Sydney. Good to have you. Good luck in Chile. Can't wait to watch. Tune in to BYU Sports Station Friday for a special episode where we count down the top 10 teams in BYU football history. Number one's pretty obvious, but what's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? We've got it for you. Friday, noon Eastern, BYU TV, BYU Radio.
You will be mad about one of these opinions. I can guarantee it. Still on the way, where Kelly Ford projects BYU football in the Big 12 standings in the upcoming season and the latest updated mock draft from the just-mentioned Yegor Demon. Headlines on the way on BYUSN.
We'll be right back with more of the best of BYU Sports Nation. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Back in Studio B here in Provo, Utah, Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler. You know what JT exudes? Energy. Positive energy.
Have you ever heard that statement? Like, coaches are always telling us, tamp it down, tamp it down. He's like, pour gasoline on it. That's the new theme for basketball. Let's pour gasoline on the hype. So
Spencer and Jerem are over at the Cedar Hills Golf Course today with a BYU corporate event. And there's our guy right there, Spencer. How are you playing?
Hey, we're 3 under through 6 holes.
Wow.
So we're playing at a snail's pace, but we are making some birdie putts, Dave. I know both you and Blaine can appreciate that, being the scratch golfers that both of you are.
Yeah. So we're scratching our heads the whole time.
That's what we're doing. We're scratching scratching heads about why we can't make a birdie. Do you have like all these like free mulligans and licorice ropes? Are these like legit birdies?
So these are, we have a team of 4 and there are some teams of 5 with their fifth shot. So I actually feel pretty good about our team of 4 putting together 3 birdies through 6. I don't know how honest everybody will be today. We have been honest. We have great integrity, led by Dr. Dane Allred, who works very closely with BYU Athletics and keeps our athletes healthy and in good shape.
Yeah. Who else are you playing with? Like, you've got Dane. Who's your
first? You've got to have a ringer there if you're 3 under.
So Dane could qualify as the ringer. We also have a golf coach of 20 years from nearby Elko, Nevada. He's my guy, Roger. He's in my my cart with me. And a good buddy of mine, Mitch Southwick, representing Intermountain Healthcare. So all representing great companies that are huge sponsors and a huge part of this big push for BYU Athletics as they take on the Big 12 era and try and level up and stay at the highest level of collegiate athletics.
Hey, look, everyone needs a scratch golfer named Roger in their group, so I'm glad you have one. Are you going to hit a shot for us, or are you just going to visit?
So I'm not in a place where we're hitting a shot. We're actually in a putting contest just by the clubhouse. I'll have you know I left the prize that I wanted. I left the putt about 3 feet short, and it's one of the critical errors in golf. You're never going to make a putt that you leave short.
Right.
Well, dang it.
Well, darn it. I wish we could see you swing, because I know that your swing is pretty. And this might mean that when we check in with Jerem later, we have to see his swing. And that could leave everybody with a bad taste in their mouth. That could be ugly.
Listen, I apologize for that. unfortunate timing that I'm here and we're not on a tee box, but we're waiting to tee off. But hey, tell you what, I will make sure that I take a video of my embarrassing golf. I'll send you a terrible shot. Maybe
awesome.
Our producer, Colton Potter, can work it into the show later of me hitting a shot and embarrassing myself.
Very good.
Go
Very
enjoy
good.
Your morning. Play some golf with some good folks. And we'll continue to carry the load here in the salt mine. So, Spencer, thank you. Have some fun.
We miss you.
Hey, I appreciate you both. We couldn't do this without both of you. You're two of my closest friends and my mentors, and in all seriousness, appreciate you so much for allowing us to be out here.
You got it.
You got to have fun, brother.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, let's do some headlines.
Yeah, let's start with BYU basketball's A.J. DeBonsa being named one of 18 finalists for USA's U19 national team roster. The top 12 move on to represent Team USA in the FIBA U19 World Cup in Switzerland later this month. DeBonsa represented Team USA last summer in the U17 World Cup, helping Team USA win gold. Awesome. I expect him not only to be on the team, but to be the star of the team. So we keep acting like this is like he's got to make the team. He's the best player on the team player. For Pete's sakes.
ESPN and CBS Sports dropped their latest mock drafts for BYU point guard Yegor Damon. They're going to project it to go 13th to the Hawks. While at BYU, he averaged 10.6 points, 3.9 rebounds, 5.5 assists last season in his first year over here in America. He's had some great workouts for teams. The draft gets underway next Wednesday.
Isn't it ironic? He goes to the Hawks where his mentor, Travis Hanson, played.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. So BYU basketball's Fusene Traore signed with SIG Strasbourg professional team in the French Pro A League. Traore played all 4 years at BYU and averaged 10.4 points, 6.8 boards. It's career holding the BYU all-time record for field goal percentage, 61.1% career field goal percentage. Congrats to Fus.
When fans go Fus, is it the same in French?
I don't know. But you know what? They'll be saying it because they'll fall in love with him. Congrats to Fus.
BYU women's soccer's Presley Freeman, Lucy Kessler, and Abby Sein called up to the first of its kind U.S. Women's College Soccer Talent ID Camp. That's what it's called. It takes place June 18th through the 22nd in Atlanta. And the idea is to find the best talent for the under 18, under 19, and under 20 women's national team rosters. So three Cougs over there. Nice.
Awesome stuff. BYU softball's Ilavea Brittingham was ranked number 79 on D1 Softball's top 100 players list. The freshman's coming off a season in which she was named a freshman All-American after batting .410 with 66 hits, 39 runs, 69 RBIs, and 21 homers.
Man, she's spectacular. Coming up, BYU baseball coach Trent Pratt, he's just got out of makeup, and now he's ready to join us. We'll talk about the future of the Cougars. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Our question of the day is this. ESPN's Myron Medcalf said BYU men's basketball is better at nearly every spot. Do you agree? At Caleb Pliu on X. I wonder which position he was thinking of when he said nearly.
He wasn't happy with the word nearly.
Point guard's interesting, as we mentioned, because it's two great college point guards right there.
Richie was first team Big 12. Can he be a better first team Big 12? Yeah, but I mean, how close is
Richie's Richie?
Is that a
Cabe's
nearly?
Cabe.
Yeah, those are where fits in there.
AJ DeBonsa is probably going to be better than most players you put in there, so that's tough. But it's also tough because you don't want to step on the players before who did a great job at their spot too.
Yeah.
At Hayden underscore Hayden Shockley on Instagram. Hot take, even at point guard. It's a little bit of a hot take. But if you're saying this team's good enough for the Final Four, there's got to be upgrades somewhere.
Yeah, if they're
certainly
going to
there
the
are.
If they get to the Final Four or Elite Eight instead of the Sweet 16, they were just that much better.
They were better, yeah. Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, at Rowdy and the Rock. I hung out with at Rowdy and the Rock on Saturday night at the Utah Warriors rugby game. We sat right next to each other.
Was it fun?
He's a big-time BYU fan. He was great. It was so fun. The only spot I'd argue is the passing ability of Yegor Dallin and maybe the post-pounding of Fus. Everywhere else should be at least the same, if not higher, by the end of the season. My only counter there is A.J. DeBonsa.
AJ, we'll go back to your earlier statement, what Richie said. Man, I've never been more open in my whole life than when AJ's on the floor.
Yeah.
That changes everything and elevates everything, and certainly the expectation.
This is a great June 16th opinion.
Yeah.
This is fun. Today's Rise and Shadow, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
James Corrigan, great interview we had just a moment ago. National champion of the steeplechase. Congrats again.
Thanks to today's guest, the aforementioned James Corrigan, Mark Duran as well.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Back live on BYU Sports Nation. Let's go back out to the Cedar Hills Golf Course where Jerem Jordan joins us live. We'll shift into our golf voices.
Yes, because we don't want to disrupt somebody putting.
Jerem, we'll take it out to you. I don't know what hole you're on, but let's go out to Jerem on seven.
I don't know if I know what hole I'm on, but Harvey Unga is about to tee off. Let me show you this.
Does Harvey have a swing?
Harvey doesn't know anything. Harvey has no idea that I'm showing him live on BYU TV right now.
So this is former all-time leading rusher in BYU history.
He's doing great right till Jamal Williams.
And
ran
now,
right past
him. Until Jamal went right by him. And now
see
we're
if he keeps his head down.
I can't even see the
note,
ball.
Harvey is left-handed.
There's a ball down there.
Is there a ball there?
He's driving right. He's driving right, but he's left-handed.
Let's go.
Smoked it.
He smoked it. Which is amazing because I figure I felt like his takeaway.
You're left-handed hitting right.
Yes.
Jerem, I feel like his takeaway, tell Harvey his takeaway is a little flat. He needs to be a little higher up with that.
Wayne says your takeaway is a little flat, whatever that means.
So
I have no idea what that means, but I'm going to go ahead and Google that when I get back, and I'll figure it out.
Harvey Unga, everybody.
Hey,
Harvey
you can find it. That's the beauty of us, T-shots, if you can find it. How are you playing, Jerem?
Terrible, as always, but it's a scramble. So we're having fun. We're 6 under through 9, which I feel is competitive. That's not a winning number, guys.
That's better than Spencer.
Spencer was 3 under through 6 when we talked to him. So who's with you, Jerem? It's you and Harvey's on your team. What else do you have?
I'm with Ken Garf homies. I got Rod, Jason, Matt, and Nate.
Nice.
Some guys from the American Four. Ken Garf, some guys from corporate. One of the guys in charge of parts. They sell 3 million parts a month.
Wow.
What? We don't have 3 million pieces in BYU Sports Nation. A year. Graphics, video, and the rest. But it's great out here. Good showing. Appreciate all the corporate sponsors. Raising Cane's right here. Hanging out on this hole.
Nice.
Shout out to Raising Cane's. Love that cane sauce. They support BYU. And as you guys know, that's super important in this era of NIL, of rev share, of corporate sponsorship. It all matters. So we appreciate all these guys.
All right, play on.
Yep,
we're
glad you guys are out there representing us. We got it covered back here.
Spend the whole day out there.
We're back here at the barn, slugging away. So we got you.
Thank you. Love you guys.
All right, there's
Jerem. See you, Jerem.
Okay, now we can get back to our regular non-golf voices.
Yeah, that's right.
Did
we really need to talk in golf voices? I don't know.
It seemed
appropriate.
Yeah,
at the time. Like
it, because it set the reverence for what they were going to
do.
Our question of the day, what is the biggest storyline in BYU athletics in 2024-25 in response to our elite voice of the day? Presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at Cougar Stats on X.
Yeah, excellence across the board. You know what? I agree. He says 2 national championships, numerous ranked teams, likely top 10 finish in the Learfield Director's Cup. And that was the highlight. So basically, Cougar Stats on X is saying it's all a highlight. The season in its entirety is a highlight. I don't know that I can argue with that. What do you think about that?
Cougar Stats is a good follow. Yeah. They always have good stuff. And great I think point. They hit it. It has been a year unlike any other.
Remarkable year.
Our Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Yeah, so we're going to rise and shout out and say happy National Mascot Day to Cosmo the Cougar, the
it's
best
mascot day.
Cosmo, the number one mascot in all of college athletics. So our shout out goes out to Cosmo on happy On National Mascot Day. Happy National Mascot
Day. He put this tweet out, Cosmo. So these are his best hits.
Exactly.
There he is playing with fire.
That's crazy.
He's got to come up with all new stuff this season.
The stuff he does is remarkable, and we'll just leave it at that. He's the best mascot in college athletics.
Bar none. Our thanks to our guest today, Jonathan Tavernari, and head baseball coach Trent Pratt.
Yeah, the conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Blaine, I'm Dave. Shout out to David Nixon, the third member of After Further Review, which returns next month. Time's flying. See you next time. Go Cougs.
That wraps up the best of BYU Sports Nation this week. Tune in next Saturday for the Cougar news you need to hear. And catch the BYU Sports Nation simulcast every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.